We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Presented by Under Armour and Prize Picks. $100 match on your first deposit with the promo code LIGHTYEARS. Andy Liu, the Warriors beat the New York Knicks 108-104 if you discount their disgusting no-show in the first 5 minutes of the game where they spotted the Knicks 12 points. Oh, whoops. I guess that means they lost the game. Warriors lose 119-112 in what is the at least 20th time I've seen this fucking game in 2 years, like this exact game.
20?
The one where they, maybe. You think it's more?
40?
Well, it depends how we classify it, right? Like, that's what brings out it, right? It's like
too many
for
times.
For me, this was not a talent loss. This was a,
yep,
I came out like I'm too fucking cool to try.
Yep.
Against a undermanned Knicks team who came out and played like they gave a shit.
Yep.
Then you're chasing them the whole game and you're not actually talented enough. You're not the 2015 or 16 Warriors where you can spot teams 20 points.
Yep.
But you play like you are. And it's just a little tiresome. That's my overall take here.
Yes, bing, boom, all of it. I cannot disagree with any of it. It's all correct. Better than I could ever put it. The team is not good enough to play the way that they play, and they're certainly not good enough to come out and play the way that they play. So they're not talented enough on one end, and they don't play well enough. They don't play smart enough. They're not prepared enough. They don't care enough. And they come out and play this type of game, as you said, 20 times in the past 2 years. We've seen it so many times. You and I and everyone that's listening could have sat here and told people what was going to happen in this game, that the team was going to go down. Once they went down by 15, they would cut it to 4, 6, or 8 about 25 different times after that, then make a stupid turnover, take a dumb shot, give up an offensive rebound. The lead goes back up to 10, and the Warriors never really have a chance, really never have a chance to win this game.
Sure. Do you think – over under on Steve in post game saying I still believe in this team?
Honestly, it's embarrassing if he does. Embarrassing. And I know it's just to save face, and I know he has to say it to keep the team locked in or whatever, but I mean, it's not like the team's locked in anyway. Like, what does it hurt for Steve Kerr to just come out and say, look man, the guys just, they don't care, they stink, they didn't play well? And you know, instead of him saying we believe in them or we flush it down the toilet, right? Would it be a bad thing if he just came out and was just like, man, the team's just not good enough? wouldn't that be like a really cool Steve Kerr thing to do? It'd just be like, hey man, the team's not good enough, so I don't know what you guys want me to say, right? Because then that maybe that lights a fire.
Why do you think he coddles them so much?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Because here's the way it comes across to me. Tell me if you agree or disagree with me. To me, the positivity coaching feels like a guy who is worried about breaking his team by going full. What is Fitz called? Scottish Steve. You know, it's funny because he has no issue lighting up Draymond over the years or the guys in various ways. But, you know, for this team, he's very in tune with making sure guys feel protected, right? And he's still doing it, you know? Like, do you think he was happy with their effort tonight? Come on, man. You know, like, no chance. It's still going to be the same sort of thing. But I'm trying to figure out why he's coddling them so much.
I actually have no idea. I was hoping that you would explain to me. You're saying maybe they're a little fragile. Maybe he doesn't want to go at certain players. I truly don't know.
Here's what I think. I think he doesn't want to go. So I'm going to put up the box score right now just so we can have the names in front of us because that'll help it out. I don't think he gives a shit about going at Draymond or Steph because they can handle it. I don't think he wants to go at Kuminga, Pajemski, Trace because they're young, you know? Like, those dudes, they're trying to develop at this point, right? They're not guys you light up that way. And so then we get to, you know, Agent 22. And do you think 22 has the mental, like, come on, man. How many years have we watched this team coddle him, you know? So I don't know. I don't want to say it's one thing or another, but it just screams like he's coaching this team because he's afraid to light them up a little bit.
Yeah. See, that's the angle I think this show takes, because that's something we haven't talked about is, I'm trying to say Kurt's doing one thing right or wrong, because I'm sure there's a great reason for him not to light them up in public. That's also not really what he does. That's kind of more that's like a Mike Malone thing, or like maybe even a Spoelstra thing, kind of Dibs. More of like the hardo coaches, right? Mm-hmm. And we've seen throughout the years that what Steve Kerr does works. So I'm kind of hesitant to say like he should be doing this or that. I just find it interesting when we've watched the same game so many times that, yeah, I mean, he's going to come out and say he believes in the team, but what is there to believe in with this team? I don't even know what to blame this specific game on. Like, if we were to go down the line here, I thought Draymond was pretty bad, especially offensively. Pods, right? We've talked about the rookie wall. I think he's hit it. Wiggins, you talked about it. He's been terrible all season again. So it's like just the same old stuff. Again, nothing different from anything we've talked about the last few months. To me, the more fascinating issue is, man, how do you come out and you just go down 15-4? That's crazy. Just crazy at home. It's crazy with just no energy, man.
And honestly, I'm going to keep going back to number 22. I'm going to keep going back to number 22 on this one. I thought Steph came out kind of flat. Draymond played awful. Those guys are also older. Fair or not. You just can't expect them to bring it the same way they do every night. You know who I do expect to bring the energy every night? The 29-year-old who's on a big contract, who's not old, and he's not young either. He should be in his prime. And he too often than not, he's a passenger on this team. Like, I really don't understand why they kept him across the trade deadline. And this is what I feared would happen. They fell in love with a 5-game span at the trade deadline, and here we are again. It's the same old, well, if we figure it out, that's sort of, like, stop. You're chasing 2022 way too hard, man. Yeah, like, this is an expensive team. You need the guys who are not 35 or 21 to be far more consistent contributors on this team. Yeah. End of story.
I mean, they've Clay's kind of back to being. I mean, he had a decent shooting game tonight, but the easy fix is you just got to start Clay again, right? But then it's like he's been playing so well off the bench. But, I mean, you've got 3-0s in the starting lineup on offense, right, man? You've got 3-0s. Like, the Wiggins stuff, I think, is fine. I agree with you. But you got 3-0s. And those 3-0s aren't really getting any better. Like, it isn't going to pop up tomorrow. And, you know, Wiggins isn't going to suddenly score 18 points on Wednesday night. No, Paz isn't going to score 15 points on Wednesday night. Draymond not scoring 20 points on Wednesday night. Like, you got three dudes that just cannot score. So I guess, you know, maybe that's the problem, right? You get more scoring punch in there. But I don't know. They look so lifeless. It's kind of sad. it's just kind of sad to watch this team. You're a 10 seed, but you're a 9 seed coming in, big win in LA, and you come back, you play a team. You said it. OG Anunoby's out. Julius Randle's not playing. The Knicks aren't.
Josh Hart played all 48 minutes. All 48 minutes. McBride played, I know it says 47, but I think it was 46. I think he technically got 2 minutes.
Miles McBride averages like 1.3 points a game, dude. He scored 29 points tonight. Let's not even talk about scoring. They didn't even bother guarding a guy that's. I mean, like, let's be honest.
And
he's not good, at least so far in his NBA career, and at 29 points.
People love being like, they're too small. They're too small. To be fair, they could use more size. Who's at multiple positions. But look at the Knicks lineup. How tall is Jalen Brunson? 6'2" on a good day?
Is he even
McBride 6'1"? Dante, the entire Warrior fan base was complaining that he was too small at shooting guard last year. He was a small forward tonight. And Josh Hart, 6'4", playing power forward for them. Like, they were, you're running into a team that plays the same bizarro lineups that we all complain that Kerr plays, you know, right. All guards. Whoa, it's all four guards, four guard lineup. What is this? Blah, blah, blah. And look, man, if you're going to play that way, at least play like your fucking hair's on fire. At least play hard, you know? And that's the thing that kills me with it. It's like, all right, they play harder. They beat the Knicks. Does that change everything in the playoffs? No.
Yeah.
But I think at least you and I can be like, you know what?
True.
They gave it their all. Yeah. I can respect it.
It's true.
This shit's just unrespectable. It's just non-respectable basketball.
It's true. I'm with you on that. Where it is like end of the day, let's say they play better, and instead of 15-4, it's 15-11, and the Warriors win this game by 3 points. Like, it doesn't change that they're gonna be playing team, first round exit, maybe tops. But end of the day, like, this stuff is disrespectful to the fans. Like, it's just like, do people even want to watch this stuff? Like, why should people pay to watch this stuff? Why should Joe Lacob pay the amount of money that he's paid the amount of money for this team? Honestly, you know, we see the owners in Bay Area sports spend a lot of money. A lot of teams spend a lot of money, even the Giants. And Joe Lacob's out here and he's spending it. And the team just doesn't seem like they care. Honestly, it doesn't seem like they care. You make a point about Steph and Draymond where they come out slow, or maybe in Draymond's, you know, kind of
struggle. And maybe I'm like being too nice to them. Fair. Maybe I'm being too nice to them.
I mean, it is fair. I actually think you're right. It is fair. Like, we talk a lot about Steph, like try harder to score in the first quarter, but it's like, man, there is a reason. Like, he just can't be doing.
Maybe that's the reality of if you assemble a roster where you need 2016 Steph when he's 36, you're the play-in, you know? Like, that's just the reality of it. You're going to be a play-in team if that's what you need, because this team genuinely needs Steph to be playing at, you know, world-beater MVP level to be a good team on a consistent basis. And I, you know, I'll pull up the standings right now.
Oh, God.
It's not even that. I'm going to run down it. OKC, you got three young guys who can get you 40 any given night. Minnesota, talent across the board, and Edwards, a superstar. Cat, awesome. You know, they got guys across the board. The Nuggets got the best player in the league and two other guys who can go for 40 in a playoff game. The Clippers, four all-stars. You know, if Kawhi doesn't show up, they still have Harden and Paul George. And, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a lot of talent. Pelicans, two clear all-stars. Kings, two clear all-stars. Mavericks, two clear all-stars. Suns, three clear all-stars. Then we get to the Warriors, and, you know, it's Steph Curry and role players. And maybe that's, like, what sucks about this is nothing about this is changing tomorrow, March 19th. Nothing about this is changing in April. Like, we just gotta fucking ride it out until the offseason. That's the reality of it.
No.
That's kind of like, now I'm back to being frustrated about the trade deadline where they're like, we like what we're seeing and we'll figure it out in the offseason. All right, cool, man. Cool.
Yeah.
They're gonna be in the 9-10 game against the Lakers. They might win that. Then they're gonna be against a 7-8 loser. They might win that. And then they make the playoffs. And honestly, they could win a round. They could, you know? All of this comes together, and it still comes back to like, but for what? They're still not going anywhere, you know?
Yeah. The comments point out the Rockets have won 5 in a row, by the way, and they're 3 games behind the Warriors. So so there you go.
I'm not entertaining that.
Jabari but, hey, Smith at the 5 doesn't fair. Move you? I forgot Şengün's actually out for the season. That's funny. And they've won 5 in a row.
Ooh. I thought that injury was worse than it was when I saw it, to be honest with you. But yeah,
might be good for the Rockets, you know. You don't want the guy that doesn't play defense in the middle. And anyway,
they can't score without Şengün.
Jalen Green, you're not buying the leap? Not buying the scoring leap by Jalen Green here.
I'm not. I am selling.
Good. Smart man to sell. The game, back to the game, back to kind of where the Warriors are. It feels like they've probably come. These type of games make me feel like they've come to the, like they've admitted to themselves they're probably not better than who they are right now. You know how with championship teams, especially championship teams that have won a lot of them, like this team, they always believe that they can be more than who they are. They always believe, like, you know, even yeah. Clay, like, you know, we're good enough. We're still good enough. We want to win a championship, but it feels like this team knows, like they know. Deep down, or maybe not even deep down. I don't think they even tell us anymore that they think they can win it all. They know, like, they're just not good enough, and it feels like they play like that, where they're just like Deuce McBride or Miles McBride or whatever his name is makes like 3 threes in a row, and they're just like, yeah, well, it's gonna be that type of night. I think that's the even sadder part, where it's just like, I think they know they're not good enough.
I feel like we're just waiting for the off season where there's gonna be a roster shift. That's where I'm at with it, because it's. If they don't shift this roster, then they are just using Steph for a soft rebuild. Like, that's the alternative. And I really don't want to go there, to be honest with you. But, like, what, like, they're playing a bunch of guys on rookie deals around Steph and Draymond and Wiggins and Clay. So I don't see how they trade Wiggins, someone in the chat says. They could have dumped him at the deadline. They're not going to get anything for him. You just got to move on and call it a day and find someone a different way. Sorry, you can't get the home run trade where you flip him for Giannis, you know? Yeah. Get rid of him and then start trading your picks or something to get something better. Yeah. But, like, enough of this, oh, we could figure it out and we'll get him back going. Well, you missed your window.
It is. Yeah. The dump stuff does feel like not a Warriors type of thing where they don't want
to. No, it's the thing.
They have to, right?
That's the thing. They keep, like, doubling down. Thinking they can fix it, and I'm just like, dude, just take the dump, call it a day.
Take the dump,
call it,
flush it. Yeah, take a dump, flush it.
Literally, dude, just move on. Do we need to see this next year? Like, honestly, what would you think if they brought back this roster with a veteran on a mid-level exception? I don't even know who that would be off the top of my
head. Same
roster, and they just add, like, they trade Saric and GP2 for a different eighth man.
I might podcast about the Giants.
I mean, it's like, it's how many more? Yeah, Kelly Oubre, right? Exactly. And it's like, how many different times do we have to watch? Like, at least just admit it's not working and shake it up.
Well, we watched the same stuff last year. We watched the same stuff this year. So that
2 years, really 2 years.
2 years in a row, right? Like, it's really become, I think this year maybe there's a little, you know, we're watching Kuminga take a leap. We're watching Pajemski. He's have a rough go of it, but he's been good overall all season. Sure. Like, I just think, like, that Trayce Jackson-Davis, we'll get to, like, some of the more fun stuff tonight, 9 for 9 mm-hmm. tonight. So, like, I think that stuff makes this season a little more bearable than last season. But, I mean, right, it's still the same games. The basketball games are still the same. I think this season's been a little more fun, I think, too. But, yeah, I mean, net, it's all been kind of just been a hard watch, man. I walk in here pretty annoyed just watching this game. And by the end of the game, you're kind of zoning out, right? Like, the Warriors are down by 8 with 4 minutes left or so. And did you think they were going to win? Did you think they were going to come back?
No.
Yeah, there's been a lot of times.
Mid-third, I thought they had a shot. Yeah. But when that run where they got it to 4 or 6 just got shut down, like 3-3, I'm like, all right, it's over.
Right. There have been times, Like, I watched the Nuggets versus Mavs game yesterday, the Saturday afternoon primetime game, and the Nuggets play a terrible game. They go down by 12, and then with like with like 4.5 minutes left, they tie the game at the end. They could have won easily. They had a wide open look at it. Murray missed it. Kyrie made a crazy shot. But like, that used to be the Warriors, right? The Warriors would be down by 10 all game. Then the last 4 minutes, they would just close it. But, all right, the game's over. Now you watch the Warriors. They're down by 10 all game. 4 minutes left, and they're like, man, can they even get a good shot up? Like, if Steph goes in the lane, he's going to get hit by two people, no call. You know what I mean? And then now Draymond gets it. He throws it to someone, and then the other guy's going the other way, or Clay breaks a shot, or Wigan takes a dribble and misses two free throws. You know what I mean? Like, it's just – it's a comedy of errors of this team. It's – we used to be watching the Nuggets of the today's Nuggets, and now it's like – it feels like you're watching a lottery team, which, you know, this team is closer to the lottery than it is to the one seed, right? So
pick a direction, motherfuckers.
The Light Years podcast, we are brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks. Now, tonight would have been a good night for Prize Picks. Keep you engaged the whole game. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with more than 3 million members. It's got to be more than that now. With all the Light Years goons signing up, it's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action. While you watch your favorite sports and players, you just pick more or less on two or more player stats, and you watch the winnings roll in. You can win up to 100x your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball where you can turn your latest knowledge into serious cash. So here, it's actually already done. We got Selection Sunday yesterday, which means biggest moments in college basketball getting closer. Who are you picking? Sam, you do your Final Four yet? Did you?
I will tell you Wednesday. I'm not ready tonight to get my picks, which is Wednesday. BS for – I haven't done my bracket. So
I have my more on all Reed Sheppard. After Sam told me that I would like Reed Sheppard, I watched a 30-second highlight of Reed Sheppard. I am now picking more on all Reed Sheppard props throughout the NCAA tournament. You can be a part of the action on Prize Picks for both men's and women's. And women's, a.k.a. all Caitlin Clark numbers, props for the women's college basketball tournament. So download the app today. Use code LIGHTYEAR.
Take the over on all our games.
Easy. Easy. Especially shot attempts. I've been looking at those. Shoots a lot. She shoots a lot. A lot of them go in.
Fuck it.
Download the app today. Use code LIGHTYEARS for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today. Use code LIGHTYEARS for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more. Pick less. It is that easy. And we are brought to you by Game Time. Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. See the view from your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. All-in prices show your total up front, so you know you're getting a great deal before you check out. You can buy tickets in seconds with two taps. My team is back in about a week and a half. They just signed the reigning NL Cy Young winner. I will be using Game Time. 85 wins. He is a 3-WAR pitcher, maybe 4. 85 wins and the third wild card. I will be there. I will be there on opening day. I will be there using Game Time to get tickets right up to the event. The good thing about it is you can actually get deals on the tickets right up to the start, even an hour after it starts. I know they got a lot of laggers in here. It's the place to find last minute seats. You can find exclusive flash deals and sponsored deals on tickets for basketball, baseball, concerts, theater, and more. And the Game Time guarantee means you always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use Light Years for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem code LIGHTYEARS for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Comments. I want to give a shout out to whoever in the comments is saying I had more fun watching Corey McGinnity in 2009. That is such a fucking lie. Sorry. Absolutely. Dude, no one liked watching Corey McGinnity live.
You didn't like the he was an elite foul drawer. You remember that? He was like foul grifting before foul grifting.
He invented grifting. I want to ask you this before, because we got a lot of callers, and I want to get to all of them because why not? Let's get to it. Why are you so excited about the Giants? Like, I just want to let me preface this. The Warriors are 17-10 since they made the lineup change around Decky's absence. All statistics point to they're like the 10th best team in the NBA, which is probably an accurate rendition of who they are. They're going to end up in the play-in. They may or may not make the playoffs, but they're like, they're not a bad team, but they're also not a particularly good team, right? You know what I'm saying? We're lamenting them, but the reality is they're kind of a middle-of-the-road team and kind of disappointing and such. I don't think there's anything that indicates the Giants with Blake Snell will be anything more than middle-of-the-road. It's the tone difference, you know? That's all I'm getting at.
I think and it's also where the teams that are, right? Where they've been the last few years. I actually don't even know if Blake Snell is that good of a pitcher. Honestly, I know he won the Cy Young, but he probably doesn't end up being a Cy Young pitcher this year. The problem with the Giants is they were super boring, right? And the Warriors, they've got a guy that's probably the most exciting player of all time. And so just the bar at minimum for the Warriors has just been excitement. But we've been so used to the Warriors winning. For the Giants, the bar is that, at least for the last few years, is that they're just so boring. Even that 107-win season, you were there. 107 wins. Did you find that team exciting? Was that team exciting, even though they won 107 games?
A lot of Gabe Kapler flexing with aviators on. No, that was not exciting.
Darren Ruff, you know, remember Darren Ruff? You remember, because you're Oakland A's guys. Like, you were telling me, like, hey, man, like, this is a Farhan type. Like, he loves high OBP, right? Like just big, stocky-looking guys. Like, not really athletic type of dudes.
Yeah, fat guys are undervalued. Yeah, that's true.
that's his thing. I mean, maybe they are. But I think with the Giants, like, I don't know if I care if they win 83, 85, 87. I don't know if I care too much. Like, I would like them to make the playoffs. I don't think it's that hard. They probably should. They're spending a lot of money. They're in the tax now. But it's 162 games. It's baseball. Can we just make it so that I can watch a baseball game every night? You and I watch sports all day. What, 6 hours a day? You maybe less because you got more stuff to do than me. But it's like, I just want to be able to watch a baseball game and have fun, man. The Giants have not made that possible for me. So I'm excited for that. That's what I'm
got
saying.
That's how got I, it. That's how I say it. I see where you're going with this. And honestly, that kind of ties to the issue with the Warriors, which is I didn't need you to run back last year. I really didn't. Like, I don't – like, just shake it up, man. Shake up the roster a little bit. It's time for 22 to go. Thank you. Thank you for 2022. Go to whatever city you're going to play in. You'll never play another relevant basketball game in your life outside of the Warriors, but you'll be a legend anytime you visit here. We'll all pretend that your 14 absences don't matter. Just get out of here. Anyway,
I think that's a good comparison to, I think, where what the Warriors should do this offseason, actually.
Yeah.
Because the Warriors have gotten to the point where they are like the game tonight was boring. It really was, which, man, Steph Curry will never be boring. Light Years podcast brought to you by Steph Curry, Under Armour. It will never be boring, but they are finding a way. They are finding a way because we're watching so much of the same stuff year, night in, night out. So, no, Blake Snell is not Steph Curry, Sam. He is not. Neither is Logan Webb. No. Neither is Jung-Hoo Lee, but we'll see if they'll win 85.
But they're at least a change from last year.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Like, maybe midseason, you're like, this sucks. Fuck off.
Like, Robbie Ray is on the way midseason. Sam, come on. Is he good? Is he good? I have no idea who he is. He's
Cy Young. Cy Young,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah. And he's in your division, though. But
I don't know how he's gonna look like post injury, but he is objectively or has been a very good player.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to it. We got a long line here.
To the goons. Let's go.
We're gonna let Ebony lead off. We got some people we haven't heard from in the queue, by the way. I like it.
Hey yo. How are y'all?
What's up?
Hey. All right.
Sometimes it's therapeutic.
That was tough. Can I just say, it felt like TJD was the only person trying for the entire game. Like, anytime he touched the court, I felt like he actually wanted to play. And he was trying to prove something, but not in the sense of, like, you know, he can't get on the floor, so he's trying to prove something. He's trying to prove that, like, you know, almost carried the team on his back, it felt like, with his energy off the bench. So that's what I got to say about TJD. And then I guess I feel bad saying this, but how do we feel about GP2 at this point?
Oh, wow.
I'm not saying he's bad, because he's not. He's still a great point of attack defender. But dang. I mean, he hits two threes and it goes in and it's like, all right, cool. But like, I don't know. Like, he does one of those. He fouls a 3-point shooter, it feels like, at least once or twice a game. And yeah, then, you know, that's 6 points, because then, you know, it's one of those terrible closeouts. So GP2 looking rough lately. Not sure how to feel about that. And then Wiggins is just kind of ass. Like, he's just
not kind of. Just go in.
He is ass, and he looks like a freaking stick on offense and defense, and it feels like empty minutes. And then Moody gets injured and you can't replace him. So it's just like, it's just frustrating watching like the roster fall apart. And then, you know, Steph and Draymond and Clay, it kind of feels like they're mentally tired at this point. Like, forget the physical part of it. It feels like they can't mentally lock in for, you know, an 82 game season, and it has nothing to do with like their capabilities. They're all still really smart players, but to have to pick up the slack of like 21-year-olds and pick them up to actually, like, you know, play hard, feels like, you know, they're kind of exhausting what the core has left on a season that's going nowhere. And the last thing I'll say, I don't know if I want to see them in the playoffs. Like, it's kind of exhausting at this point. Like, I don't even know if I want to see them in the play-in either, because, you know, if they're playing the Lakers, what's the point? What's the point? Like, they want LeBron. Like, I mean, LeBron kind of has to be in the playoffs because he's LeBron and, you know, his 50th season or whatever it is at this point. So that's all I got, guys.
That's a great call.
Yeah.
A lot to hit on there.
Yeah.
I think the first thing I want to pull up here is, so I was curious. GP2's played 38 games since he got traded back to the Warriors. And I think that's the issue right there. I don't know if he's washed. I don't know if he can rediscover what he had in that 2022 season, but I do know he's just not available enough. He made mistakes that look like a guy who just hasn't gotten to a rhythm half the time. So it's just like, yeah, it is what it is. And like, you know what, if he can't be available the way he used to, then, you know, that's also a problem, right?
Yeah. I that was actually going to be the GP2 was the one I was going to talk about, actually, of the few things that she mentioned. Because he's such a lovable player,
right?
We really don't have anything ever quote unquote bad to say. I will say, and the comments brought this up, it's hard to be annoyed at someone that plays so hard. The problem with the Warriors is that they don't play hard. So
yeah,
you know, you and I sat here and we're talking about the team just not playing hard, man. GP2 plays hard, right? TJD plays hard. Bajemski plays hard. Like, the problem is that you're relying on these guys, man. You're relying on, like, it's, why are you relying on Bajemski to play to play way better than he should be right now?
He's playing bad right now. There's no way around that either.
But it's like, you're relying on him. You shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be. He's not Wemby. But, you know, back to your point about Wiggins. But anyway, we're not going to do that again. Let's go. Next one. Next one.
GR3 is better than Wiggins. That's what we got in the chat right now.
What's Glenn Robinson up to?
Shit, man. Let's keep moving.
I love TJD.
TJD was the bright spot tonight. We probably should hit on that, but it is what it is.
Somebody will bring him up.
All right, Guru.
What's up, guys? I guess first time caller to playback, though I have called on Spotify before. So
nice. Yes. Nice. I knew I recognized the name. Yeah. What do you got for us?
Wow. You know, what typified the game was late in the game when Wiggins got that steal and he was just coasting to the rim and McBride just sprinted back and fouled him.
That was
when he could have easily finished.
That was insane.
That was insane. That was insane. And I mean, that just like typified what Andrew Wiggins has been since the championship season, right? Like just inconsistent. Like, oh my God. And yeah, TJD's, he looked like the only guy who was trying tonight. And just a pitiful performance. Draymond played bad too, by the way. Like,
awful.
Multiple turnovers. Like a dropped pass off the Chris Paul outlet that should have been an easy finish. Multiple missed layups. God damn it! I'm starting to lose it with this team. I really am. And like I want to echo what the previous caller said. I don't want to see this team in playoffs. Like I don't see them beating the Lakers anyways. Like a full strength Lakers like. People don't know if AD played Saturday. I think the Lakers win. Sure. I think the Lakers win if AD plays the entire game. Right.
That's there. You go. You got your playing formula right now. Poke him in the eye again.
Yeah.
Get through that matchup. then we poke KD in the eye.
Then Jokic, you're getting it too.
That's all I got right now, honestly.
Yeah, and I tweeted to Andy, how many fake comebacks did we have in this game?
Oh, those you.
Like, it was probably 10 by the time the game was over.
They had two more since you tweeted me, by the way. They had two more.
I really bought with the one in the third quarter when it was 99-95. I was like, oh, here it comes. Here it comes. It did not come. Miles McBride, swish. Brunson swish back down 10.
DiVincenzo swish.
Yeah, exactly.
Hard contested layup. By the way, what's your guys' take on GP2 not always switching on screens, especially when Steph is the target defender? I mean, I saw that a lot in the fourth quarter. Obviously, they're targeting him, right? Like the McBride's coming over screening and getting Steph on the switch. Like, should GP2 make a little bit more of an effort to stay on Brunson? Like, what's your guys' take on that? Or should they just double? They tried doubling when it was like too little too late, right? But yeah.
I don't even know where to go with their defensive strategy in general. Like half the time. Like it does feel like, okay. So back during the dynasty days, they just switched everything all the time, right? Like they had the guys to do it. It does feel like now they mix up their coverages all the time. I don't know. The chat's right. Is there a defensive strategy? Maybe. I don't know.
It probably tells me that maybe he's not fully healthy. He's not comfortable maneuvering through those screens. But like that the point is that they also don't have, like, it's not just Steph being the worst defender. It used to be Steph was the worst defender, which you can get away with because Steph is actually not a bad defender. He just is small, and then you just have four elite guys around him. But right now, the Warriors have maybe one elite defender on the floor. And then after that, it's like, which Wiggins is showing up tonight? Is GP2 on the floor? You know what I mean? Like, it's not like who's Clay guarding? Because if Clay's guarding a larger wing, he's fine. But if he's guarding a guard, he's screwed, right? So it's like they're kind of just hoping and praying defensively. And that's part of where Steve Kerr probably can't do anything. So you just got a lot of guys that just can't play defense. I don't know what you do.
I forgot whether it was in the second quarter or third quarter. The comment, by the way, LaChina, and I forgot the other, like, they did a tremendous job on the broadcast today. I think it was in the second, and then Wiggins scores his first point of the game on a free throw. Like, that just typified Like, yeah, we can't win when Wiggins is scoring in single digits, and that's what happened tonight.
No, I mean, he needs to be the second best player on this team, and hasn't been that. Gur, appreciate you. Call in, my man. Yeah, Andy, you wanna hit that under arm one before you get to everyone else?
Yeah,
by the way, McWalters, Paritosh, Bobby, we all see you. We're gonna get to you right after this.
The OGs. By the way, I'm watching Jalen Brunson tonight, and I really need Brandon Pajemski to end up being like bright Jalen Brunson. I know it's a years away, but it makes so much sense.
See how like that's who he wants to be like. He said like that's the player I model my game after. Like lefty, kind of slow, like using his body for angles, that sort of stuff.
Herky, literally all of that. And IQ, he's got the IQ to do it. Again, Brunson's a lot older. It didn't take Brunson a year to get there. It took Brunson quite a few years to become who he is today, right? Yeah. So, I don't know. I feel like I'm always really hard on Kuminga's in my mind where he can be. And I've been less so for Pajemski. I just see a little more there, but we'll see. We're Light Years Podcast brought to you by Under Armour. Steph Curry makes you believe you can do anything, and the Curry 11s are specifically designed with ultimate bounce grip and stability to allow everyone to do their thing. New generations of ball players are coming up, showing the basketball world that the old rules do not apply. The future is exciting, fast, positive, and hungry. This NBA season, rock with your favorite player, rep his shoes on off the court. Curry 11s are perfect for both the committed and casual ballers. The UA Warp tech makes the shoe feels like it was designed for your feet, locked in no matter what you do on the court. Stop your tracks with dual density UA flow cushioning and traction, an emergency break you don't even notice. Steph's 11th signature shoe steps into the second decade of his sneaker career, pulling colorway inspiration from the wonders of a positive and modernized future on and off the court. Take these kicks with you when you leave the scrimmage and rep UA wherever you go. Do your thing. Change the game. The Curry 11 Future Curry is available now at currybrand.com.
Speaking of someone who respects Curry Brand, let's bring McWalter up here.
Let's go.
I haven't heard from McWalter in a while.
What you got for us, boss?
Oh, man, it's been so long, he forgot how to use the app.
Oh, no, I know how to use the app. I know how to use the app.
What's up, man? We've been missing you calling in.
This was not great. It just felt like when Dre didn't get a couple calls during that scoreless six-minute start and he started pounding the ball on the ground each time, having a little baby tantrum. Those are signs when Draymond quits on our team.
Right.
And it used to be Draymond would quit on the team and he'd get ejected. So I guess that's some mental health progress for him, that instead of quitting on the team by getting thrown out,
better health promo
quitting on the team by just not playing hard and being a, I don't know, and put your derogative word in of choice. But it's, you know, it's just not great. He just needs to tweak how he handles those situations more, I guess, because he was not useful. They should have just benched him the rest of the fourth when they sat him down in the middle. Bringing him back in was pointless, and it was just awful. And
isn't that kind of part of the problem though? Because I don't disagree with you. He played like he should have just took the night off, right?
He looked like you were talking to Andrew earlier. He looked like a starter who didn't have his stuff, and you should pull him after the fourth or fifth. Hey, you don't got it tonight, man.
But to that point, do they have the guys to just be like, Dre, tonight's not your night. We're going to go with the young guys. They have Trace.
Yeah, and that's about it. And that's the problem, because Sarge played himself out of being usable. And we don't have any other bigs, so unless we want to continue to stay small, which might work actually, if any of our quasi 3-4s could hit a shot, you know, Kuminga had some mid rangers going today and got us some post scoring, but you know, Wiggs was his, you know, didn't care self either. And so the problem is, if Dre doesn't care, and Wiggs doesn't care, and Joku's not playing defense, and GB2 looks a little slow, then we're really up a creek on defense. Like, those are like our our four best defenders, and are like, oh yeah, no, none of them came tonight, and against a team that plays really good defense. And so a team that plays good defense means that we're going to have a hard time scoring, which means that our defense needs to be on point. And instead, they light us on fire with their McBride. I mean, what's the story of the words? Like, hey, who's the scrub who lights us up tonight? That's like a common theme of the season, right? Like, hey, tonight's scrub who lit us up was this guy. And it's just, you know, it's just frustrating. And I'm honestly worried about the 11th. Three games, given how the Warriors like to trick things away, given that we're playing Houston one more time, like, we could really blow it. It's not inconceivable. And apologies for the audio if it's bad. People are saying it's done, so cut me off.
Do you not feel like some of our previous callers were Guru and Ebony just said, hey man, even bother, you know, we don't even see them in the, but you're good with that. You at least want to see them in the play-in round.
Out of principle, I can't not see them in the play-in round. I'm not going to root for the, we don't even care to show up to the play-in, but I get the logic. I do get the logic.
Give me pain until the end of the day. You know, I will watch the play-in game. It's a one game and you're in. That stuff is so good for sports. It just doesn't get any better than that. Steph's gonna be locked in. I know it'll be frustrating, but whatever. I give me the play-in round. Give me the Lakers. Don't be playing LA. Whatever. Just give it to us.
Tashion, what's up, man?
It was so fucking mid, bro. It's so fucking mid, bro. It's like the offense is average pretty much on all metrics. The defense is only average because basically we have two Hall of Famers who are old and can't carry all the time. And like, oh my God. The only reason why I'm somewhat excited is because Trayce Jackson-Davis is designed to become a little bit more of a bright spot. And the only reason why I don't say like just start Trayce Jackson-Davis entirely is because I think, as you mentioned earlier, Sam, is like Wiggs is fucking terrible and just needs to go back to deported to Canada again. And Jonathan Kuminga isn't a consistent enough wing in order to, as a shooter or at least slash an offensive threat. And it's like, okay, we can't have two inconsistent offensive players on the wings to play next to Trayce. And I'm like, it's just going to be a whole fucking mess, bro. It's so terrible.
Yep.
They don't really have
consistent options. They really don't.
It's all a personnel thing. And it's like, oh, like, why doesn't Steph play all the minutes in the first quarter? Why doesn't Dre do more on defense? It's like, because they're fucking old, bro. It's like, it is what it is.
Get them a more consistent contributor. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Tasha, before we get you out of here, I need your prediction on Giants wins so Andy and I can make a new bet.
You really want this new bet? Oh, man.
Give us a number. Give us an official number. Give us a number to bet off of.
The official number is Giants in 5 against the Dodgers. That's all that matters.
I wanted a number in the 80s. I didn't think you were going to be such a dude.
I was going to say 87, but okay.
Wow.
I was going to say 87.
I was going to say 84 and a half is a good number. 87 is a great number.
Tyler says 84 in the chat. Tashan, appreciate you. Or he says 84. 84 and a half is a fair number. I will take the under.
On 84 and a half? 84 and a half wins. That's not that many wins.
I think you're going to enjoy 83. I need to give you, we're gonna set the line at 84 and a half. We'll come up with terms. They win 85 or above, you win. They win 84 below, I win.
The Giants winning 83 games this season would be they have it's really not asking for much. How many games did they win last year? They won 78 games last year, and really everything went to shit. So whatever. Do better. Paratosh, what do we got?
There's not a lot huge difference between 83 and 85. Just vibes. So
might be the third. It might be a World Series trip. You know, ask the Arizona Diamondbacks. You know, you get in there, you get in there, you get lucky. Really, it's really baseball playoffs, man. You really get in there, you get lucky.
That's true.
Although that's really what.
It All is. Right, Paritosh, what's up, buddy?
Hey guys, how's it going? I hope you guys are not closing with me.
No, I got one more to get to. So
okay, no, yeah, that's good to hear.
30, it's 1:30
here
see
right
it.
Now.
I'm
on the East Coast, so Ooh. Yeah, one of the first games that I watched on the East Coast. Jeez. So yeah, that fucking sucks. Yeah. So, but anyway, I do have a hot take, or rather a take. Sam, since you mentioned about why Steve Kerr continues to coddle these guys, and I honestly think it's because he's struggling to get through to them, like just struggling to motivate them in any way possible. And I mean, we can see that on a nightly basis that they barely, like so many times you have seen this season where they come out with a subpar effort. And I feel like most of it is because Steve Kerr has backed himself into a corner with some of the bizarre decisions he's made. Like, for example, last year playing Anthony Lamb and Ty Jerome over Kuminga and Moody. Even this year, Kuminga literally had to go to the media to get playing time. And since then, he's looked basically like our second best offensive option. So, like, he's coddled the Vets before. He's sided with the Vets, and they have let us down so many times. Like, Draymond was missing for half the season because of his own antics. So, like, all of these decisions has, like, kind of just made him lose his authority in some way. Like, he just can't get them motivated as a group. So, I think that's why he keeps trying to coddle them, because he's trying any way possible to get to them to play a hard night in and night out. So that's my take. And just one more thing before I drop off is, do you guys still are no on Zach Levine for Andrew Wiggins next season? What do we think about that?
Say it one more time.
Zach Levine? Do we still don't want him? See, you're seeing how Wiggins is playing right now, Sam.
I'd rather take the salary dump. Rather take the salary dump, because
so like you want a soft good tank, basically.
I want the dump to make a move to go somewhere else instead of being locked.
You know that front office isn't doing that much.
So. Well, let me pray, down. Buddy. Let me pray.
I'm down.
Okay.
I'm in. I raise my hand for those that are on playback. We're still on playback. 10:30 Monday night. Hardcore like Ayers Goons. I'm in. My hands up. I'm in. Give me that.
Appreciate you, Paritosh.
Thanks, Paritosh.
All right, we got one more. This guy's been waiting the whole time. Honestly, I shouldn't have made him wait to end, because that just feels mean. New caller. Or maybe not a new caller. Maybe just a new handle, for all I know.
Long time goon. 30G. Oh, man.
Perfect. Maybe he's not coming in. Maybe this is a perfect way to end it. No showing at the end. Warriors no showed at the top. 30G to get a no show at the end.
Give
you 30, another, give yeah. another 20 seconds.
Give him some time. I'm in on Zach LaVine. It's something
I mean
new.
I mean it's if you're new I'll put it this way, if you tell me it's LaVine or Wiggins is back, well, yes, obviously I'm taking the LaVine option, but I'm gonna lie to myself they can do better for a significant amount of time. There we go.
Hello,
what's up, man?
Hey. Oh, I'm a long time listener. Actually, I've been on, I think it was the YouTube I was on a while back in the year's playoffs, but good to be on. But even with how awful that game was to watch, I still think we could have won. If Draymond doesn't fumble that game, that fast break, we're down 2 points with all the momentum in the world to win that game, even with how terrible it was to watch.
Yeah.
But, you know, that is what it is. Other things, Steph can't allow the game to start off like that. We can't get in the hole like that. And that mainly, to me, lies on Steph. Other thing with pods, I think he hadn't been the same since the
knee.
The referees changing a little bit too, a little more contact, and hasn't been the same really since that. Also, has been a part of it. So it could be the knee, could be some refereeing as well. But you know, it has to do with it. And the one bright spot everybody's been saying is TJD's been fantastic, in my opinion. I think
yes,
I think he needs anywhere from at least 25 minimum to 30 minutes per game. At the least, in my opinion. And my takeaway from the game is I just want to beat the Lakers in the play-in. I don't care. We can lose. Just beat LeBron. I can't lose to LeBron James in the play-in. Just beat LeBron, then lose the next game to whoever. I don't care.
Don't even matter. That would actually be the perfect way for the season to go. Just they beat LeBron in the play-in.
Yes.
We're all hyped. And then we watch them lose in an uncompetitive game to
lose. Yes, yes, that's all. Just put this godforsaken season behind us. That's all I ask.
Actually, you know what? That's a freaking perfect way. That's a perfect way to end this show. Yes.
Appreciate you, man.
Yep. Good night, fellas.
Thank you. Golly, that was, if there's nothing else, the Warriors are going to give us this season, a season full of pain and tough finishes. Just give us the win over LeBron, and just we'll deal with the offseason after that, right? It's perfect.
Appreciate everyone. Later, guys.